Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Nick Vujicic, and he is one of my heroes. I've had him on this broadcast a couple of times before. We're delighted and honored to have him back. He has got a new book coming out this month that you need to get hold of. It's called Be the Hands and Feet, Living Out God's Love for All His Children. Nick, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me back on the program.
Now, in the past, we've talked about kind of your life story and talked about how God has used you to bring his message of hope and love to others. But you've been traveling the world now and sharing the gospel for 15 years. Tell us about the outreaches. You've been doing some 8,000-person tents that you've been hosting in Southern California.
Well, we first of all want to say thanks to everyone who's been praying and supporting Life Without Limbs Ministry at lifewithoutlimbs.org. You can definitely check out some really cool videos of the world travels. We've now clocked 68 countries. By the grace of God, met 17 presidents, spoken to 10 governments on a national level.
Praise God.
And being on TV, preaching the gospel to over 670 million individuals. We are so thankful that 8 million people of them were face-to-face, and a million of them gave their life to Jesus. And now with a growing family, you heard that we have twins and two boys, so two boys, two girls. We are so blessed to now be focusing closer to home and really praying for our nation, America. And yes, the tent indeed is very, very exciting. We have pitched up the tent on a smaller model in 2017 to reach out to the communities, and we do hope that in Southern California that we do hold the whole tent up at 8,000. And it's just trying to reach the millennials, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those people who won't go to a church, and then even after they give their life to Jesus, actually, the average evangelical ministry in America, if you look at their numbers, and if we're all honest with the numbers, unfortunately, only two to five out of 100 people who give their life to Jesus actually get plugged into a local church and get baptized. And so what we're trying to do is engineer that bridge between people giving their life to Jesus and then finding that long-term place in the family of God. So yes, indeed, we're excited. We're in awe, we're humbled, and we give all the glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Now, you have a nonprofit that you operate called Life Without Limbs, and it's dedicated to reaching people, as you've just described, and doing that all over the world. How do you cope with the demands of your travel and speaking schedule?
It's unbelievable. Our family, our team at Life Without Limbs, we are so grateful for the people who are praying for us on a daily basis. We have over 1,200 people praying for us on a daily basis, and
praise
I give
God.
Them weekly updates and different prayer requests, because without the prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we become crippled by the overwhelming responses and invitations. And really, we know that as a ministry, for us to reach 7 billion people, we have to do things differently other than just, put me on a stage. And so we are creatively partnering with different denominations on some aspects, some ministries, Teen Challenge, mm-hmm. One Voice Student Missions, Bible clubs in high schools and middle schools, mm-hmm. where we can be comfortable to say no to most of the invitations that come in and be able to say, but look, Nick's doing this, and this is how your local church can outreach to their local community. And so on that vision, we're so thankful that it's by the grace of God, with his wisdom and the prudence of the board of directors of Life Without Limbs. And without such people around us, and of course, the people who support us financially, our monthly Hope Partners at $25 a month, without all this whole team and support system around us, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. So we're very, very thankful.
Very much a team effort, and I'm glad for people to hear that, because I think, you know, sometimes folks get the idea that, if they're going to do something for God, they got to do it all by themselves. And that's you know, that is, they're not going to do anything great for God if that's the attitude they keep. The other thing that happens, though, is that a lot of times people feel like, well, because I'm not a speaker or I don't have an amazing story like Nick's, then there's not anything I can do. But in fact, you are able to do what God has called you to do, because there are a lot of other people who are working alongside you and praying for you and standing with you and supporting financially. And that makes a world of difference. So people should never feel that because they're not going to be the one with their name on the billboard, they can't be a significant part of what God is doing. Everybody.
I love that point. Sorry to interrupt you. I love that point. And that's exactly why I've written the book, Be the Hands and Feet. Because it's some people who see me on stage, they think, well, Nick's extraordinary, and he's got a powerful, compelling story. And the way that I break it down is we all have broken pieces, and God can do something amazing with our broken pieces when we give our broken pieces a chance.
Amen.
In the hands of the God who can do miracles. And it's not about me. It's about what Jesus has done for any person who is willing to say, God, take over. And my story may help disabled families, and my parents might, you know, be able to be inspired by my parents, but everyone has a story, and their story can powerfully impact other people going through different things in life. And God wants to use us. He created us on purpose for a purpose. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Now, in the book, Be the Hands and Feet, you include a letter written by your father, who you refer to as your number one Christian role model. Could you share one or two lessons that he taught you by his life?
You know, so many people claim to be depressed today in America. It's so sad. And two of the things that my dad taught me, to me, two of the four key elements of really, I'm going to say all four, because the four elements that he shared with me got me eventually out of any deep, dark storm. Number one is he always said, be thankful. Many people in America, you know, don't pray more than 60 seconds. They don't know how to pray more than 60 seconds. Let me teach anyone who's listening how to pray for more than 60 seconds. Write down a list of the things that you can be thankful for.
Amen.
And you'll pray for more than 60 seconds. Amen. Pray to your family. You'll pray for more than 60 seconds. So my dad taught me to be thankful for what I had instead of being angry for what I did not have.
Amen.
My dad taught me to take one day at a time. You know, when I would ask him a big list of the unknown questions about my future and about, you know, what God ever would have for me, mm-hmm. he said, look, you know, don't drown in such a big horizon. Take one day at a time. Number three was really to help somebody else. And that sounds crazy. When you're weak and you're empty, to then go try, remember those who don't have what you have. So mm-hmm. whether that be go, you know, feed someone at a Union Mission, mm-hmm. Go to an orphanage, go to a cancer hospital to encourage them. That's great medicine for the heart. These are all biblical. And the fourth thing is to talk to somebody. You know, when we go through something, you know, when you bottle it up, that isolation is exactly what the enemy wants.
Yes.
And so those are four things my dad taught me. And I miss him greatly, but I know that death won't separate us. because we know that death doesn't hold us Christians down, because we have the power of the resurrection and we will be in heaven. We have citizens of heaven passing through.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. Those are four great life lessons. And you're exactly right. The enemy wants us to be isolated. The enemy wants us to just focus in on ourselves and our feelings and our circumstances, and we've got to break out of that. So thank you very much for sharing. You also, in the book, you share some stories of people who are reaching out with God's love to others to help them in practical ways. Could you share maybe one of your favorite examples of these acts of compassion from your book?
Look, you know what? This is where it comes down to this. When I have seen women in India who were 17 years old, sold into slavery at age 10, sometimes sold by their mother for $700, mm-hmm. and you see them then be rescued by a ministry called Teen Challenge in Mumbai, they find Jesus Christ, they find a job. After 12 months of going through the Teen Challenge program, they find Jesus, they find forgiveness, they find redemption in its totality, totally redeemed and ready to stand in front of the gates of hell and redirect traffic. They get $700, get a bucket of water with a white towel, they go back to the brothels, to the house that they were once a slave in, and they go to their former master who was once abusive of them and say, I love you with the love of Jesus. I have found Jesus. He's totally changed my life. He loves you, and I'm praying for your soul. I know you're not complete. I know you're still lacking happiness and purpose in your life. I've come here to tell you he loves you, and I've come here today to tell you that if he has forgiven me, as I know he has forgiven me of everything that I've done wrong, who am I not to forgive you of your sin against me? I've come here to wash your feet. They wash their former master's feet, and after that exchange of hugs and love and tears and a prayer, they say, here's $700.
Wow.
I'm taking a slave home. They get another slave, adopt that girl as their younger sister, take them through the Teen Challenge program. They find redemption. Amazing. They find redemption. And we are so blessed to now see those girls go back again and again and again.
Praise
and
God.
I want everyone to know that I am a champion for Jesus. I don't believe in the power of the universe. It's not about how can a loving God send me to hell. It's how can I ever believe that I could ever go to a perfect heaven, be with a perfect God with my sin. And when you look at such slavery, extreme cases, when you look at religions, do your research. Don't be a Christian because of the Christians, because you won't be a Christian for long. But look at all the other religions, and you will see a very, very small window of hope, redemption, forgiveness, assurance of salvation, and resurrection for these slaves. And you know what the window is? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And his arms are wide open. So when you see powerful testimonies like that, you're ready to stand in front of the gates of hell, even when it gets hot.
Praise God. Praise God.
And we all have a story. We don't need extreme stories. Amen?
Amen. Amen. God has clearly anointed you and is using you in an extraordinary way. But I am so thankful that as he's using you, you are calling everybody to realize you can be a part of this. You can be used by God. You don't have to be famous. You can be used by God. And I really want people to get that message. Folks, the book is Be the Hands and Feet, Living Out God's Love for All His Children. And we are so glad to have Nick on the broadcast again with us today. Now, Nick, you also talk about some of the tough questions that people have asked you across the years about the Christian faith. And how do you respond to folks who say, why would I want to be a Christian? They don't have nearly as much fun.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. I love this. look, I actually think that this book has contents to actually address the disability of the church. And I really feel the disability of the church in America is the mindset of those who attend on a broad level, wherein if we are not reaching the next generation, we have lost. And to do something different may need to happen. And for us as leaders of the church, how quickly your church doubles is directly dependent, not really on your preaching, but mobilizing and helping people be sent, equipped, find the evangelists in your church who are called to share their faith. Not everyone feels comfortable to share their faith, but we all have that mission when we find Jesus and the cure. We must know what we believe. Mm-hmm. And when you really believe what you believe, that's when things happen. If I really believe that Jesus made sure that I'm living at the exact address that I'm living at today, mm-hmm. and I know His Holy Spirit has convicted me to invite them to church, mm-hmm. and not just go to church for my status quo and just feel like I'm doing my Christian due diligence, mm-hmm. but inviting people to church, inviting them over, talking to them about Jesus, it's more than just loving on them. It's asking, how can I pray for you? The biggest atheists that I've met never shut down a prayer opportunity. They don't stop Christians praying for them, whether it's face-to-face, if they say no, so I'm going to be praying for you. And that is a seed where it gets the reality that, you know, if Christians really believe in what we believe, then where are His hands and feet?
Mm-hmm.
And where is that time to take out to say, yes, I'm busy, but I'm going to be a friend to my family, not just a parent to my children, a friend to my children, a friend to my spouse, and not just a husband. I'm going to take her out on dates, and I'm going to show my family what it means to serve the Lord. And in that, as a family, we will do family trips and efforts and missions trips to step out of the box and help people see Jesus in any way, shape, or form. And I just want everyone to know that when you are afraid of knowing how and not knowing how to connect with people, Matthew 10:19,
mm-hmm.
do not be afraid of what to say, for it is not you who is speaking, but I through you, says God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is some amazing confidence that we can have, that all God is looking for is saying, have you found me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to find my other children and bring them home.
Mm. You know, I heard a story once about a guy who was asked repeatedly by his neighbor to go golfing with him on Sunday morning. And every time the believer responded saying, I go to church every Sunday, and felt very good about the fact that he was being a witness to his neighbor, that, you know, his neighbor was not able to get him, even though he loved golf, his neighbor was not able to get him to break his rule and skip church and go golfing. And finally, the neighbor said to him, you know, I've asked you 5 times to go golfing with me on Sunday morning, and every time you've said no because you go to church. You've never once invited me to go to church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, this guy was feeling really good about himself because he thinks he's saying no to temptation, but it doesn't occur to him. The neighbor wants to spend time with him, and you're saying this church thing is really important to me, but I don't care about you. You go ahead and play golf and go to hell. I just want to, you know, keep my standards up. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If we care about our neighbors, why wouldn't we want to invite them to church? Now, maybe you're listening today and you're saying, well, I wouldn't want to invite a lost person to my church because my church would turn them away from Christianity. Well, then maybe you need to be going to a different church. If you don't have a desire to share what you have in Christ Jesus, do you really know Christ Jesus? Because when, you know, I mean, you talk to Nick, he's not some sad guy just trying so hard to get his chin off the floor. He loves Jesus, and it comes through when you hear him speak. You've been listening to him now. Read this book, you're going to see more of the same as far as his love for the Lord, and what flows from that is a love for people, including lost people, wanting them to know the one who loves them best, the one who came to save. Now, Nick, you regularly share the hope of Jesus Christ with hundreds of thousands of people throughout Europe. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the controversy regarding people with disabilities that occurred in the Russian media when you were there back in 2016.
I love how you were just preaching, man. I was like, woo, this guy's on fire. First of all, America, I just want to tell youth all the time, don't say that you're a Christian just because you go to church on Sunday and then tease somebody at school on Monday.
Amen.
You know, God has put you in that school for a reason. And this book's all about just getting real and leveraging every opportunity and really, really adjusting it and setting in the concrete for anyone who's like, yeah, well, I think I'm a Christian. I go to church. This is when it, like, brings in just a solidness in your foundation. Look, Russia, man, I love the world. You know I love the world.
Mm-hmm.
We were just in Ukraine, September 2017. 800,000 people face-to-face, 400,000 gave their life to Jesus Christ, broadcasted to around 50 million people in 26 languages. It was just incredible. And we have been blessed with some doors in Russia that some evangelists just like can't believe what happened. Being able to preach the gospel on Russian TV. But anyway, we have some plans for Russia over the next 2 years, but so pray for Russia. We are really, really thankful for the cool opportunity that seemed negative at first. When I left Russia in 2016 after my third visit there, there was a journalist that basically started a campaign to basically say, we as a country in Russia should never allow a disabled person to ever have a platform to speak, to write a book, and to say anything. Put them back into a closed room, basically. And 90,000 people actually signed that petition.
Mm.
The media then called my office and said, do you know about this? And they said, no. And they said, do you have anything to say? And they said, no, no comment. It went back to the Russian media saying Nick was not offended by such an article. Well, without me saying anything, that guy got fired.
Mm.
And it's such an interesting opportunity to really show people that God loves us all.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever seen the short film The Butterfly Circus. 80 million people have watched the short film Butterfly Circus. It's on YouTube. It won 32 film festivals.
Wow.
We have received thousands of letters to say, I will never attempt suicide again. This film saved my life.
Praise God.
And that film, in a redemption, without faith-based verbiage in Christianese, you know, sometimes you got to save a life before you save a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so going golfing, you know, instead of even going to church and you go into the evening service instead, ask God for creativity in how we can reach the lost and just living our life, going through struggles when you have cancer, but you still have peace.
Amen.
When you can bury your dad in peace because of cancer, like I did
mm-hmm.
in May of 2017. There's something different.
Yes.
It's more than a positive attitude. It's more than just be good, do good, and good's going to happen, because we know that's shallow.
Yep.
We know it's more than reincarnation. It's Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Folks, I am so grateful for the way that God is using Nick around the world, including right here in our country. But I'm also wanting you to know that God can use you. And again, the book is Be the Hands and Feet, Living Out God's Love for All His Children. It's coming out this month, and it's going to be available in bookstores and online. You can go to Nick's website, and we'll have a link to that on our website. So I just want to encourage you, get the book, read the book, pray for Nick, and rejoice in what God is doing. Nick's previous books have made him a New York Times best-selling author, and it is no wonder. It's great stuff, and it's true. So don't miss out. Nick, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. We'll be praying for you and your wife and your twins.
Amen. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show. Please go to lifewithoutlimbs.org. We live stream many times as well. Thank you, and God bless you all.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.